Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7. Simplified understanding of the deen.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to today's episode of Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. Subhanallah, this is where we remind ourselves about Islam. Importantly, it's Ramadan. I hope you enjoyed what we did for you right in the beginning of the show. Native Deen, believe it or not, they've been here in Nigeria some time ago, long, long ago, they were in Nigeria. And, you know, alhamdulillah, that is something they did for Ramadan. That piece they did for Ramadan is very, very soul lifting. Today we're going to be looking at work, worship, and well-being, finding balance in Ramadan. That's what we're going to be doing today. And our guest will be joining us physically in the studio. He's on his way here already, inshallah ta'ala. Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari, he'll be the one walking us through how to balance it all, work, worship, our well-being, all weaved into one. You already know Imam Abu Labiba, but for those that will be listening for the very first time and have never met him, Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari, he is the Imam and Director of Darul Saada Islamic Center in Ota Ogun State. He also serves as Quran Tutor at Crescent University in Abeokuta, Ogun State. Mariam, he's your guy, right? That's your base. Anyway, so he's going to join us physically, but he's online right now so that we don't waste any time. Imam, salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you this morning, sir?
Alhamdulillah. I wanted to break the online jinx,
yes,
and come there physically.
Yes.
But I think I'm doing the two today.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. May Allah accept it from you as ibadah. This is a huge sacrifice. Jazakumullah khairan for always, always coming through. So we'll see you soon, inshallah. Ramadan is not merely a ritual season. It actually is a divine training ground where discipline, devotion, and daily living must coexist in harmony. Yet, many Muslims struggle to translate the spiritual ideals of the month into practical reality. Between professional obligations, family responsibilities, physical well-being, and heightened acts of worship, the believer can feel stretched thin, spiritually eager but physically exhausted. So you want to do so much. You have mapped out so much. You had this beautiful plan all laid out before the month, and the month is here, and so handle the burnout, you know, in the first few days, and you're totally burnt out. Islam, however, is not a faith of imbalance. It is a faith of proportion, wisdom, and intentional living. Worship is not designed to break us. It is meant to build us. Work is not a distraction from faith. In fact, it is a pathway to it when guided by sincere intentions. The challenge, therefore, is not choosing between dunya and akhirah, but learning how to align them. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. We do have perfect feet. He's got it all covered, inshallah ta'ala, and he'll be walking us through that. How best we can achieve harmony in our productivity, our devotion, and our well-being during this month of Ramadan, in a way that is sustainable, meaningful, and spiritually transformative, so that we don't end Ramadan on that high note, and then once Ramadan is over, that's the end. So he needs to help us, you know, put it all together, and then we're able to sustain that power, that energy after Ramadan. So Imam, many believers enter Ramadan with this lofty spiritual goals, yet quickly feel overwhelmed by competing demands. From your perspective, why is achieving balance so difficult, and what are the spiritual and psychological consequences when that balance is lost?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala آله وصحبه ومواله. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of the world. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of the world. We beseech His blessings upon the luminary of mankind, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his household, his companions, and all those that tread his path till the day of reckoning. When we talk about balancing, actually, why a whole lot of people are finding it difficult to really balance is that some people have not been living Islam before the arrival of Ramadan.
No.
So they want to live that life now in Ramadan, which is not what they've been used to.
Right.
And now to balance the whole thing is coming with a whole lot of
challenges and almost seeming impossible.
So that's number one factor, which is a major factor. It's a major factor which has affected a whole lot of people.
Okay, Imam, I know you are here now, so let me take a quick break and get you into the studio settled in, and we just carry on from there. So stay with us. Give us a few minutes to get Imam settled in. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Imam is here in flesh and blood, physically, alhamdulillah. So we're just on the response. We're responding to the first question. I'm glad where you started off. You targeted the Ramadan Muslims and the Eid Muslims. So if you didn't have it in you before, if you weren't practicing Islam before, if you weren't doing those things before, of course it will be overwhelming trying to take it all on when the onset of Ramadan is here. So, and that's the first thing you said. So that's number one reason for the imbalance.
Exactly, yes. The imbalance is as a result of, you know, wanting to be Muslim just
all of a sudden
over the night, you know. Excuse me. So the challenge will be there. A life you've not lived for a certain period of time, and you want to just become that within a night, you know, the challenge comes in. Another one is inadequate preparation for Ramadan. Our past predecessors used to prepare for Ramadan 6 months before.
6 months ahead of Ramadan. We do prepare for Ramadan maybe a week or 2 weeks. So there's no way the balancing will come just like that. Excuse me. So there's no way the balancing will come just like that if there's no adequate preparation. So inadequacy in preparation also. For those that have been living Islam, yes, but you didn't really prepare
mentally tuning in.
Exactly. Because this is a field. Ramadan is a field where you want to boost your taqwa.
Mm.
To boost the taqwa, you must actually go in prepared with taqwa. No. You want to boost taqwa. So if you don't have the taqwa, how do you want to boost?
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
So you have to prepare ahead. For example, one of the preparation required is to have fasted, you know, get used to prepare your body for fasting. And the body gets used to the fasting, you know, mode. A lot of people have not fasted, you know, after last year Ramadan.
True.
And wants to fast this Ramadan. So the body will find it straight. You've ate a lot of shawarma.
Shawarma had to collect stray bullets. So, wow.
You've eaten a lot of shawarma, a lot of pizza, a lot of, you know, all those, you know, what do they call that one? Platter of, what do they call that one? Fish with, that is our Lagos people will eat.
Imam is only that knows this thing. Me, I don't know past about fufu. The one you are mentioning is.
So you have eaten a whole lot of it, and the body has adjusted to that new style. So all of a sudden, you just want to start fasting. Your body too will protest.
Right.
So that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his own style, if he wants to do something in a very that he knows is rigorous, he will start it in a mild way.
Right.
For example, look at our daily prayers. 4 rak'at of Zuhr. You first bring the Nafila voluntary act in a mild form before now coming with the obligatory one, which is the lengthy one. Then look at Hajj as well. You will do the minor Hajj first, which is the Umrah. Then now get into the longer, rigorous height. So for anything you want to do that is rigorous, you need to start it in a milder form.
And build up.
So that the body will get used to. So just meeting the body with that unprepared nature, just a sudden switch of a system would also bring challenge.
Absolutely, totally understandable. And subhanAllah, in Islam, you know, Islam preaches consistency, moderation. It's always asking us to be moderate in our deeds, even in our worship, and excellence in all of our affairs. Now, practically speaking, how can Muslims structure their daily Ramadan routines so that professional duties and acts of worship strengthen each other as opposed to, you know, them competing for our attention? How can they complement each other?
You see, firstly, my first advice is this. A Muslim that is professionally active, or, you know, I would say professionally active, whatever form of profession, if you have the opportunity to take a break off work during Ramadan, it is the best. We need not deceive ourselves.
Right.
The best is to take break off work. If you have the opportunity of leave, then let it just calculate it and make it
coincide with the month of Ramadan.
Month of Ramadan. So that will give you ample opportunity for so many things, like going for Umrah, you know, doing itikaf, you know, and so many other things.
Yeah.
But there are some of us that would not have such opportunity. Either being, because sometimes even if you are a boss of yourself, you are an employer of labor, sometimes it even puts you more on edge than being the employee. You know, you might not be able to leave work because of the rigor, or depending on the timing it happens. But If you are unable to, then that's where the plan B comes.
Right.
The plan B is how to harmonize.
Right.
How to harmonize, how to balance. If you've not been living Islam before, expect challenge. You've not inculcated observing Salah into your work routine before, and now you want to start praying. You don't expect a miracle. You are not used to, it's time for Salah, let me go and pray while at work. And now it is fasting, you want to do that. Even your bosses too will find it strange.
Yes.
They may complain. And they may, you know.
And rightly so, they'll be justified.
Yes, because this is not what we know you to be. So, and that's why Muslims need not shy away from who they are.
Yes.
Let people know who you are. This is me. If you want to use the restroom, nobody will tell you not to.
Indeed.
It's a call of nature. So the same thing, this is also
a call of nature. It is. Allah is the one.
So you're always on duty as a Muslim. And that's the primary duty. This is just a secondary one.
Indeed.
So you need to always respond to the primary duty at every point in time. So if they know you as living such a way of life, they will adjust to it. And most especially if you are the productive type, and then you have to be a productive Muslim.
I mean, an average Muslim, you are expected to work with ihsan. Everything
exactly.
has to be
ikhlas,
top
ihsan,
notch.
Sincerity in everything you do. So they will not joke with you. If it is just the 5 minutes or 10 minutes they need to, you know, have your activities done, they don't mind.
Yes.
You don't mind.
Because you've not been found wanting over time. You've proved yourself. You've proved
exactly.
your worth. Yes.
Your competence is there.
Yes.
Your professionalism is there. So you praying has nothing to do with what you are there to do in the office. So let's fuse in everything. Then we need to understand that, you see, Islam is not just about it's time for prayer. I'm fasting. You leave Islam completely.
No cherry picking.
As you are walking, you are also practicing Islam. Excuse me.
Okay.
It's.
sorry. unfortunately, we cannot offer anything. No water, no mint to calm me down. May that ease it for you. So sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
So, it's Ramadan, we can't drink water. Alhamdulillah. So, it's not about I'm on... I want to pray. That's just the aspect of Islam you want to.
The entirety of your workflow, the processes, everything.
Your entire life is all about Islam.
It should model Islam. It should reflect Islam.
Exactly. Your dressing is an act of worship.
No.
You know, you get reward through your dressing.
Because you're obeying Allah.
Exactly.
You're following the etiquette, the standards that He has set.
Even obeying the laws of your company.
Yes.
As long as the laws of your company do not contradict that of Allah or that of the Messenger, then you get reward on that as well.
No.
You are also, it's an act of worship. Do you understand?
Yes.
So, all these are opportunities for you to get reward. As you are being diligent with your work, you are balancing, you are an accountant, for example. And you are balancing the account, ensuring that there are no, cutting
corners. Hard coding and adding extra zeros here and there.
You know? So you are getting reward.
Yeah.
So that's your ibadah. And that's where intention plays a whole lot of role.
Right.
You need to ibadalize all your activities through sincere intention.
Right.
Intention is what helps to distinguish between customary acts and religious acts. Somebody else may be doing something customarily and not get reward on it, while you will be getting, you'll be doing the same thing and you'll be getting
a reward.
So what differentiates the both of you is the intention.
No.
So you having good intention in all you do, you can ibadalize your entire activities for the entire day.
No.
And you turn it, you turn everything as object of what?
Worship.
Worship.
Mashallah.
So as you are walking, you have the intention, for example, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah because I don't want to eat haram.
Mm.
I want halal sustenance, and that's why I'm into this. So, and I'm doing this because Allah wants us to get halal sustenance. As you are doing it, you are getting reward.
Mashallah, tabarakallah. For those that work in the offices, tied up and, you know, behind the AC and all of that, that might be a lot easier for them to fast. But for those that have more physically exerting roles, fasting can quickly affect the stamina and concentration and even emotional regulation. Now, for those people in such demanding workplaces, what can you, what advice can you offer? What prophetic or practical strategies can help such Muslims maintain productivity while preserving the spiritual depth of their fast?
Hmm.
I'm talking about the people that are climbing scaffolds, the people that are those people.
Yeah, energy. Sometimes I look at some people and I wonder, how do you actually cope? Also, some people wonder how we also cope, you know, talking, because that's another rigorous work in Ramadan.
No.
Talking for hours, moving from one point to the other, you know, having to attend to different programs or there. But you need to first understand who you are. What can you accommodate?
Mm.
There are some people, for them to cope with rigorous activity, they need to eat heavily during Sahur.
Okay.
If you are the type, please
respect your body and give it the need.
Give it what it needs.
Right.
Don't copy with the
dates and milk people.
With the date and milk. Don't copy yourself. In that.
Load your fufu and eba. Combine it
and have your full
carbs that you need.
Then go for your walk.
Mm.
If that is what will help stabilize you.
Mm.
And we have some people that no matter how heavy he eats, that is even what will break him. That's a system.
Yeah.
So if he eats heavily, within few hours he will empty his bowel
and back to square one.
So all he needs is just something. Look for a kind of food that will sustain the body. So in a lighter way, and he will be fine for the rest of the day. So he needs to understand himself. Some people, he needs to take a lot of water during sahur. Take not just I'm okay with one cup. No, it takes a lot of water and it's fine. It will be fine for the rest of the day.
Right.
So one of the things they need to do is understand
your body.
Your body. Then number two is cut off excesses. Things that are not necessary, don't engage in them.
Hmm.
Don't use your energy it's just a waste of energy. You have wasted energy in what is not, maybe for example, an unnecessary argument about Baka and Man U. You have,
exhausted your small energy they are trying to conserve.
You know, you sweating profusely as if he's getting salary, you know, from the, you know, or arguing on political issues.
Right.
And you now get to work, you know. I don't even know how to cope. You have wasted energy. You don't need all those things. But if with all this, there are still some people that cannot still cope.
Right.
There are still some people that cannot still cope. If you are the type that cannot still cope with every work in Ramadan, and you have another means of sustenance, that, well, I can still cope with so and so for the month of Ramadan. Go and use that other option.
Mm.
But if you are the type that there is no plan B, and if I stay off work for one day,
the whole family will suffer.
The whole family will suffer. And I can't fast while, while working. So, you know, and you don't have, I keep mentioning, you don't have option.
A whole lot of us,
have alternative means. When we get to our masajid, there are so many options for us. You know, there are so many people, so many plans that our imams have for us to take care of us. You know, okay, with foodstuff, you can be fine with the family for. So, but if there are no options, you are in a location that you are the only Muslim, nobody to assist you, no friend, nothing, you are to drop fasting.
Allahu Akbar.
You are to drop fasting. So if the work is too difficult to fast alongside, then you are to drop fasting.
Allahu Akbar. Allah is the most merciful indeed. Something that comes with Ramadan is sleep disruption. It's 5 and 6, right? Sleep disruption and Ramadan, they're together, particularly for those that take their night prayers seriously, both Taraweeh and Tahajjud, and then have to also meet up with Sahur. How can believers safeguard their health without sacrificing the spiritual opportunities of the night?
Sorry, I need to add something.
Okay.
As you are
Living the fast,
you have to
pay fidya.
Uh-huh. You know it's money you are getting now. You to go and feed somebody that is in such a position looking for somebody to
feed him.
So you go and feed him, so he will not live fast.
Mashallah.
You understand? So you have to do fidya for each day. Or you calculate everything together and do it at once. So it's not just all for free like that. So you want to get money, then you feed people as well for that purpose. But I keep saying, do not misuse this window. And that's why scholars don't really
mention
talk
it.
About this.
Yes.
They don't really talk about this because of how people will bastardize, you know, make you misuse this, misinterpret it. So don't put yourself in that corner. Before you can apply this, you must be
in there, and you're completely helpless. There's no other option anywhere.
So now, in terms of sleep, sleep cannot be enough in Ramadan. You always be in need of, because fasting will always want you to sleep.
No.
That alone.
No.
But to balance well-being now, not just, I just feel like sleeping. No. What does your body need? You need to, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encourages us to always have qaylula, which is what we call siesta.
Okay.
Thank God you are not going to the restaurant during your break. No
right.
Restaurant. No, okay, let me quickly
get to. You're not carrying lunch, yeah.
Let me quickly get to so-so. No lunch, no anything. So at such a period, just take a nap.
A power nap is called.
So just sleep. If sometimes you sleep for 5 minutes, and it will be beneficial than a sleep of 2 hours. You know, so if it is 5 minutes, if it is 10 minutes or 1 hour you could catch up with, please sleep. It will help your body. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged us to do this, and he used to do it as well, so as to strengthen himself during the night.
Mashallah.
So yeah. you must have, you know, there is a number of hours of sleep that your body requires, but you cannot give the body all at once. So
right.
Then you're breaking. Okay, in the night I will do this, so that I can have night activities, night prayers. Then during the day, I can still sacrifice. So the Prophet used to do it mostly in between Zuhr and Asr. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If yours can come during Zuhr and Asr, it's also good. But if you cannot do it during Zuhr and Asr, it's not compulsory. It has to come during Zuhr and Asr. It can come before Zuhr, depending on your schedules. But try to have sleep during the day, so that it helps you catch up with. Then our phone time too needs to be cut off. That's another thing.
That's the stealer of our sleep. That's what that steals from
sleep a lot. Steals our sleep a lot, because mostly the person is not doing tarawih, he's not observing tarawih, he's done with tarawih, he's not doing anything. Now it's for you to sleep early, but he has to be on the phone
to you catch up with all the emails and all, you know, the messages.
Sometimes it's not
and
even
see what's easy. Trending. It's what's trending. I just use that corner now. I used to you, Gemma, you know, shake, you know. Well, we need to justify this. We're holding our phones. I just want to catch up. I want to be sure that I've cleared all my emails. But in the bit of clearing the emails, you know,
yeah,
I
can't that Twitter trending issues and the likes, comedies, and so on. So these are, they are stealing time and stealing, they steal your sleep. So go to bed early enough. When you go to bed early enough, you'll be energized enough to undertake activities, be it spiritual or your professional activities for the day.
So there are some of us that are permanently in the state of anxiety. We feel we're not doing enough. Actually, when you're comparing yourself with your siblings, like me now, constantly underperforming Suhan Life, they use sibling scale to judge us as the fellow to be like, may that protect me. So, you know, they're miles ahead, and you're surrounded by people that are achievers. So you're constantly still of that, you know, state of anxiety, feeling, you know, despair. You feel you're not reciting enough. The next person is already on, you know, juice 20, almost finishing one Quran, and you're struggling with juice 2. Subhanallah. How can one cultivate spiritual contentment while still striving for excellence in worship?
We have to worship Allah till certainty comes. The moment you start feeling satisfied, there's a problem. That this one is enough. It should never be enough. You need to continue to struggle. Continue to struggle. Even if you have done more,
it's never enough.
It's
just
never
keep
enough.
Going.
Just continue to. And yes, people can motivate you, but should not demoralize you. People can motivate you, but you cannot. For example, you have a friend that observes what is it called? Nafila, maybe he can withstand having maybe 5 juzu on his stand. And you cannot, you know.
Just do your kulu Allah, jelly.
Just do what you can do. So you now keep struggling. Don't condemn the one that is doing that much and say that your own is too much. While you also strive to see how you can be growing steadily, gradually. Your growth has to be steady and your growth has to be gradual.
So that it can be sustainable.
So that you can be sustainable, because Allah loves something that you do and is consistent. Not what you do today and you are
abandoned.
Not able to do it for the next 1 or 2 years. So, consistency, if it is 2 rakah, that will be consistent. Be consistent. If it is 4, that will be consistent. Be consistent. So I only use the rakah as example. It applies to every aspect of your deen. The same thing, issue of reciting the Quran. Just ensure at least you finish one. At least finish one Quran. If you can do more, then fine. If you cannot do more, just at least one.
Target to finish one and work towards it.
So there are modalities you know, you can use to finish. For example, you know that you are a very busy type. Then plan your recitation around your salat time. I'll recite so number of pages before salah. Then after salah, I will recite so number of pages. If you are targeting one Quran, that means before salah, you can read 2 pages.
No.
I don't mean 2 leaves. I mean 2 pages. So then after salah, you read another 2 pages. That's 4 pages.
No.
So after each day, you would have completed 20 pages.
Mashallah.
So 20 pages times 30 days. 20 pages is 1 juzu.
No.
And you have 30 juzus in the Quran.
No.
So you just need 1 day extra to do, like a weekend, you know, to do 4 instead of, because the Ramadan may not be 30.
No.
Ramadan may not be 30, it may be 29. So
no.
Just to cover up for. So if you want to do 2 Quran, then you increase the number of pages like that, planning around your salah. It helps to, you know, achieve this with ease and comfort. May Allah guide us.
Ameen, Ya Rab. Something else that Islam teaches is intention. It transforms ordinary actions into acts of devotion. And I think we've mentioned that earlier, because that intention is what separates the religious act of worship, you know, act of worship from a customary act, as it were. Now, how can working professionals consciously embed sincere intention to their daily tasks so that their careers become extensions of worship during Ramadan and even beyond Ramadan?
Yes, we have to leave Islam like I initially mentioned.
No.
You leave Islam. And you leave Islam with the correct intention so that what you are doing will earn you reward rather than just doing it customarily. Even eating, you can turn eating to ibadah, act of worship. How? I'm eating this. Have the intention that you are eating because Allah wants you to sustain yourself.
Right.
I'm doing this, I'm eating so that I have strength to worship Allah. Allah said I should not take my life, you know. This will endanger my life. Not eating will endanger. I'm doing this because Allah asked me to. So these are intentions you can have around eating. And as you are eating, you're having reward. As you are sleeping, you are having reward. I'm sleeping so that I can wake up in the night to worship Allah. I can do this too. Different things like that. And this also affects your professionalism. Your professionalism. When you get to, in fact, before you become a professional, even while studying, have that intention that I'm studying this because I want to assist Islam with this. I want to assist Islam from this aspect of professionalism. So, as you are studying, you are getting reward. And when you get to your field, you ensure that you do things with right intention, doing things the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be done, even if you are the only one in your entire company. The only one in the entire company. Don't bother about that. Let Allah take care of that for you.
No.
You know, Allah will take care of your situation for you. Just ensure that you do it the way Allah wants it.
No.
If you end up losing a job because you are doing it right, wallahi, Allah will replace it with something better than that.
Absolutely.
Wallahi, Allah. Allah will replace with something better because you are doing it. But if you are not doing it with a good intention, you are doing it wrongly or thereabout, if you lose it, you might not have such opportunity again.
No.
So, our ibadah, Islam is not for you to just be on the mat, you know. I have to be on the mat. Where's my clothes for salah? You know, you have one cloth, you do hang on the wall or on the wardrobe. That's the only one you can use to worship. You have turned it to cloth of spirituality.
Yes, yes.
So when you want to become spiritual, I want to come into the mood of spirituality. This is the clothes that can put
Imam,
me.
It's like I'm talking to my sister. She did some more.
I'm not referring to anybody.
Yeah.
So, Islam is not just about that.
No.
It's a way of life, you know? So, it's not until you are on the mat that you act as a Muslim. You are a Muslim throughout your life.
No.
You are always on duty.
No.
You are always on duty. Just like, it reminds me of a situation where somebody told a man in the plane, in the aircraft, he said, he offered him alcohol. And he declined. He said, no, I can't take alcohol.
Why?
He said, why? Why can't? He said, I'm a Muslim, I don't take alcohol. He said, well, there's nothing there. He said, okay, would you do something for me? He said, was that okay? Could you please offer the same alcohol to the pilot?
Right.
I said, no, you know, the pilot is on duty, he can't take it. He said, hey, I'm a Muslim, I'm on duty. I'm always on duty, I can't take it.
MashaAllah, tabarakallah.
So that's the concept. You are a Muslim and you are always on duty.
No.
And you don't need to hide your Islam. Don't have that, Islamophobic fear that people will not want
to
accept.
You're always going to be under attack.
You know. It's because you are not presenting Islam, that's why they don't even identify you with Islam.
Right.
that your company where you don't want to pray is because you are not presenting yourself as a Muslim.
They don't identify you as one. So yes, any new thing you do, it's alien to them.
It's alien to them. I have a brother that, in a strange land, the non-Muslims, they are in strange company. Non-Muslims, are the majority. In fact, I think he's the only Muslim there outside the country here. He would, when it's time for Salah, would look for just one corner and pray.
Yes.
Just one corner and pray. And just a particular day, one of his bosses saw him and said, "What the hell? What are you doing here?"
Mm.
He said, "I'm praying." So you want to create issues for us?
Mm.
Why can't you tell us that you want a place to pray? How can you be praying in such a corner?
Yeah, making it seem like
we
maltreat and yeah.
Just tell us how, when, and when you will be needing to pray, what time. And they allocated time for him in the boardroom.
Yes.
They allocated the boardroom of the company to that, him alone.
In fairness, that's the style. In fact, in companies of repute, what you would find is you can book slots in advance. So you pre-book the meeting rooms for your solar times. And that's how...
if he had been apprehensive of the situation and feels like, I'm the only one, I know what I faced before I could see this job. If I say I should pray, they would just... sack me, and you will not be able to sustain that religion. Then the job too will not be sustained because you will end up losing it.
No.
Allah is the one in control of hearts.
No.
He is the one to keep your love in their hearts.
No.
And if he does not put it there, then no matter what you do, they cannot love you. All of a sudden, if they increase your salary, give you skyrocket promotion, all of a sudden, they will be the one to still say that some people are making the company spend more. We need to cut down on X. So sack those people that are being paid the highest.
Mm.
We need to get people with lower payments. So
yeah,
Allah is the one in control. Once you satisfy Allah, you please Allah, then Allah takes care of every other thing for you.
No, alhamdulillah. Now we're at the point where, I know it's still early days, but we're inching towards it. Most of us start with so much enthusiasm in the beginning. Our energies are the highest at the beginning of Ramadan, but then it starts to decline midway. And, as you approach the first 10 days, the energy starts to drop. What do you think causes this mid-month dip spiritually, emotionally, and physically? And how can Muslims sustain the momentum they started off until the very end?
They are having muzzle.
Right.
They are like... an athlete or a footballer that wants to go into a tournament without a preparation or practice. And you just want, on the day of the tournament, you want to be so fit and agile on the moment you run from here there, you just have it pull you, and that's the end of the whole. So that's a false start. A whole lot of people are having a false start. In the day Ramadan started, or the night, the first night, you see masajid very filled, filled with worshippers observing Taraweeh. Go there tonight. I'm sure you will not see the same number again.
Yeah.
So those ones are having false starts. False starts. Because... this is a way of life. A way of life is not window shopping. It's not anything that you are just trying to redress an issue. You need to prepare adequately.
No.
When you have adequate preparations, there is no way you will get to the middle and get relaxed or feel weak or feel like you cannot push further.
No.
For example, if you are used to reciting the Quran daily. You are used to reciting the Quran daily. The Quran had been part of you before. Reading the Quran in Ramadan will not be an issue.
Yes.
If you are used to observing Salat before, praying in Ramadan will not be an issue.
Yes, because it's normal. It's just normal.
Now, if you are not used to fasting before and you have tried fasting for a few moments before Ramadan came in, you would be used to it by now.
Yes.
You know, some people will tell you, first day of Ramadan, it will deal with you. It's just because of a lack of adequate
preparation.
So these are the things affecting our people. We need to intensify on our preparation. And we should not just see Ramadan as any other month.
You know, when you said we should intensify, I think part of the blame, and you know, I apologize, is to the ulama. And I say this because, subhanAllah, you are aware that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prepares for Ramadan 6 months ahead. Incidentally, the way we are structured around here, we start to see pre-Ramadan lecture just a month before Ramadan. Why aren't these pre-Ramadan lectures happening 6 months before? So that you are driving people to understand the intensity of the month that is coming up and why you need to get in line. Imagine if 6 months ago, more members had spoken about it. More pre-Ramadan lectures had happened. And so there's a pre-Ramadan lecture, pre-Ramadan lecture, and then the ones happening the month before happens. A lot more people will fall in line. Because 6 months ago, you've reminded the one who needs to pay back the missed Ramadan to do it. So I apologize, but then I feel the ulama have the chunk of the blame here.
Yeah, yes, you are right. We have a lot to do in that regard. But sincerely, it's not just about the ulama alone. The ulama have a lot to do quite very, very well. You know, I know how long I had started series of... my khutbah had been on Ramadan preparation series every week. We keep talking about... So I don't need to start doing Ramadan lecture, Ramadan khutbah in Ramadan.
No.
I had done series of khutbah even before...
The onset
of the month of Ramadan.
Okay.
To prepare people, understand the fiqh, understand this and that, those that need to repay their fast and so on. And I do issue out this thing on monthly basis when the moon is sighted, you know.
Yes.
I do issue out. I know how long I had been keeping it there, that Ramadan is also,
yes.
Let's make dua for Allah to make us so. And then those that have not missed. But if we all collectively do this,
no.
It will increase the awareness.
No.
Most
no.
definitely.
No.
The awareness is very, 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 very low. I remember attending, I was invited for a Ramadan lecture in a community.
Yeah.
And one of the organizers was saying that he was blamed that, how can you bring Ramadan
pre-Ramadan lecture in January lecture
so early, like no. It's too early
no.
to have pre-Ramadan lecture like that, you know? And that affected the attendance of people. But that didn't stop me from doing the lecture. So we need to understand this, and then we make it a habit, you know, a habit in us, that we want the awareness of Ramadan to be in vogue long before the coming of Ramadan.
Mm.
If we are all intentional about that, both the scholars and the followers, then we will have this achieved. I accept the part of the scholars, and that same thing affecting Dhul-Hijjah. A lot of people don't know the importance of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, you know, because we have very weak awareness around Dhul-Hijjah. So I remember so many times people will ask that all this that you are saying about Dhul-Hijjah, why is it that we don't hear it? It's only Ramadan we hear. Only Ramadan we hear. So the awareness is, and alhamdulillah for this kind of platform, this can also help. You know, when we have Ramadan like 6 months, away, let's have a discussion
inshallah.
On it.
Inshallah.
So let's have it noted, because this program, you know, goes a long way and it touches... it reaches a lot of corners, you know. So let's also embed it there, and every other program that can assist this. So let's just push the awareness and help people prepare better.
Sure.
We have so many people that didn't pay the last missed pass.
Yes.
We started this one now.
Very true, sir.
They didn't pay back.
No.
And some don't even know the gravity of not paying back.
No.
The you know, they don't know what to do. Well, do it later.
Oh.
I remember when I sent out a write-up on Fidia and the like, and I kept there that those that didn't pay back, as they have the social punishment too. Somebody said, I've never heard of it before.
SubhanAllah. Yes.
So we have a lot to do in da'wah. Yes, we are disadvantaged with the fact that in the location we have, there's no government support. But yet, we can support ourselves.
No.
Who was the government doing in the time of the Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
They tried till they were able to handle the system themselves. So let's just continue to thrive and strive.
No.
May Allah continue to make it easy.
Ameen, Ya Rab. So if you were to distill Ramadan balance into one guiding principle that everyone can use, like a template that every person can adapt to their own space, regardless of the occupation, regardless of your circumstance, so something you can do on a daily, what would it be and how can it be lived practically? So like practical guide, this is where we are now. For that anyone can adopt. You're a youth, you are a new Muslim, you are a nominal Muslim, subhanAllah, but you're listening to this now and you want to make a change, something that anyone and everyone can adapt to their own circumstances. What will be that guide?
The guide is live Islam every day. Live Islam, be intentional about living Islam every day. Don't make your Islam ceremonial. Don't make it occasional.
Right.
It's until it's time for Eid. It's until it's time.
Imam, I need to interrupt you. Let's take this call. Hello, good morning.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Wa alaikum assalam wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you. Jazakallah khairan. This is Yusuf. Allah milik wa alaikum. Yes, I haven't listened to our guest in the house.
No.
I think he has, explored a lot of, things, doing with, that has to do with the Ramadan.
No.
So I think the reason why in this part of the world, this country where we have, is because we are in a secular state and the mixture. So because on the day of Ramadan night, when we wanted to start Ramadan,
no.
Somebody was calling me in Spain.
Okay.
Yeah, a friend was calling me from Spain that, they are already, it's like the mood there. That's why it's bad that, the population is not, all that like ours.
Mm.
The mood there, because they have commitment and dedication. So I think it has to do with one, putting mind in what you are doing and believing in it. So you know, when we know our religion, like the one you are doing now, sensitization, enlightenment every day, every Saturday.
Yeah.
So I think people, when we know more about our religion, we will put mind in it and we do more better.
Inshallah.
So sorry, our stars. I can see the AC, maybe it's the air conditioner there that is giving him...
No, it's not. So it's him. Well, it's a sleepless night. So it's synonymous to Imam.
Jazakumullah khair. So he should relax. Yeah,
Imam does like 5 lectures daily. So it's not. So don't blame it on us. Jazakumullah khair, brother Yusuf. Alhamdulillah. Imam, you're just wrapping up. We are coasting home.
Just to add to what brother Yusuf said, we can, even in our homes, let's create that atmosphere. I remember how long in my house we have designed the house for Ramadan. Even the children already know. So if the government is not doing it for us, let's do it.
No.
So in our homes, let's let the mood be there for the children. If I do it in my house, you do it in your house. Everyone does it in their houses. No. It will work.
No.
So may Allah guide us right. And from I've been down actually, but we cannot leave. That hour we just have to struggle. May Allah continue to strengthen us.
Allahumma ameen and accept it from us all as ibadah.
Wrapping up, I said we need to leave Islam. We need to leave Islam. We need to leave Islam. Don't make yourself a ceremonial Muslim, an occasional Muslim.
No.
If you leave Islam every day, it will become a part of you.
No.
You will not even see it as you are doing anything.
Okay.
All this that we are doing now is because we've been used to it since our childhood.
No.
That's why we are not really seeing it as,
it's not a big deal.
We have 1 minute and 1 excuses to say that, lectures for this this thing, I think I'm not attending to, my health is this, my health is that. But we are, it's already a way of life. If we don't do it, we find it as...
You'll be uncomfortable. Exactly. You will be sicker than you are if you don't do those things. Yes, indeed.
It's a way of life. That's the beauty of making something a way of life.
No.
So Islam is a way of life, a total way of life.
Mm.
And let's make it a total way of life.
No.
So let's be intentional about living Islam in every aspect of our lives. If we do this, we'll enjoy Ramadan more. I will enjoy post-Ramadan even better than we enjoyed Ramadan. And I have the sweetness of Iman right in us. May Allah grant us sweetness of Iman.
Allahumma ameen, ya Rabbi. Jazakumullah khairan, Imam. This is how far we can go on the show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And may Allah put barakah in everything that we do. From this moment, intend to live intentionally, live Islam intentionally. Try to... how many more days, 20-something days to form a new habit? Make that your major, proposal for this Ramadan, and inshallah, Allah will make it easy so that subsequently we will be moving a step ahead. We'll be doing more. We'll be doing something different in subsequent years. Inshallah, ta'ala, we leave you with this nasheed, and we'll see you same time next week on Saturday, 11 a.m. to 12 noon is the time to lock it here on Everyday Muslim. WFM 91.7. Amin Adam signing out. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
To sponsor this program, call the number 0816-480-7613.
Tune in to Women Radio 91.7 for everything women.
Salamun, 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 salam. Salamun, 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 salam. Salamun, 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 salam. Salamun, 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 salam. Ja'alna as-salam shi'aran lana. وباسم السلام التقينا هنا لتجعلنا يا رب أيامنا على هذه الأرض بشرى السلام. Peaceful, 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 peace. Peaceful, 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 peace. We made peace a symbol of ours. In the name of peace we gather here now. Oh Lord, please make these days of ours on this earth filled with peace. Salam, 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 salam. Salam, 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 salam. Salam, 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 salam. Salam, 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 salam. Faya Rabbu innaka anta salam. Wa minka salam wa indaka salam. Li amrika yarji'u amru.